This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary number 26B, Path of Higher Evolution, Compilation, page 105, and we're talking about the great freedom that exists on Sirius, the tremendous contrast between our unimportant planet and this stupendous life of Sirius. But nevertheless, there is this relation of ancient date, and the various laws and principles arising because of the Syrian influence, the law of freedom, the law of karma, the special sensitivity of this star discussed in other contexts. So the uprising, leavening energy of the principle of freedom as it is found on Sirius. This has been our discussion in this section of the fourth path, the path to Sirius. And this is the explanation as is found in the rays and the initiations. Okay. So, moving on then. It is the principle of freedom which enables Sanat Kumara to dwell on Earth and yet stand free of all contacts except with those who have trodden the path of liberation. Well, the path of liberation is leading to the fourth initiation. And now stand free upon the cosmic physical plane. There is a relative freedom here at least. So Sanat Kumara will not compel, although he is allowed to, I think, enforce the planetary purpose when it is necessary. Through the planetary will, and this in obedience to the purpose of this and will of the solar logos. So what is the path of liberation? Well, we can say the master is liberated, but really only the sixth ray initiate is liberated into his monadic nature. Yet on a lower turn of the spiral, and truthfully so, the fourth degree initiate is liberated from the need to reincarnate. So the path of liberation leads, in a sense, preliminarily to the fourth initiation. It is this path, principle of freedom. It is that which enables the initiate to achieve a state of isolated unity. So it is the, what can we call it? The standing detached in being. Regardless of circumstances. So as we begin to achieve isolated unity, we are untouched. You know, that which is free is untouched, and being is untouched and unafraid. As it says, unknown and unafraid, untouched, for A, unchanged. So it is really based on this freedom, is based on an identification with being. It is that which lies behind the spirit of death, liberating being from its trammels in matter, and forms the motivating power of that great releasing agency. So that is a beautiful way of saying it. The principle of freedom is the motivating power behind death. He's saying that. He calls it not just death, but more descriptively, that great releasing agency. And so many of us fear the release, or, well, you know, the great fear of the aspirant and the disciple, the fear of failure, and the fear perhaps of being called into release before completion of one's task, and non-completion of one's task would mean failure. So that is something to consider. A different attitude towards time would then be required, I think. Is there a time limit on certain types of actions which must be brought forward? Well, HPB tells us about the need for occultism to win the day before the end of the 21st century, and we are told the planetary logos has his time-space schedule. We're also told, following the Second World War, that if humanity did not do important things in the field of disarmament and education, that we were heading for a brutal war, which would make all other wars seem like child's play. So, and that much of this had to be done within 25 years after the war. Are there time limits? There are time limits in this world of time and space, and these have to be observed. And for that reason, spirits keep themselves in connection with time and space when they otherwise might be able to release themselves into some condition in which time and space were understood much differently. So it's a great releasing agency. It is that which provides a pathway of power between our hierarchy and the distant sun Sirius, and gives the incentive towards the culture of freedom or of liberation which motivates the work of the Masters of the Wisdom. What an amazing statement. You know, some of this read over earlier has not been fully assimilated. One can see that. So this is the principle of freedom that we are here discussing. Principle of freedom, yes. Let's just keep in mind what it is we are discussing, which enables Sanatkumara to dwell on the earth and yet stand free from all contacts. The master dwells in isolated unity, yet has freedom from time-space circumstance in the lower worlds. It is the spirit of death. It is a great releasing agency. And it is this principle of freedom which provides a pathway of power. So it's as if, in freedom, there is power. And in slavery, there is loss of power. So when we are free, we can fully express the power, and we have this culture of freedom in the hierarchy. All are left free to pursue their path. So it is provides a pathway of power, and I might say also, can we say, a pathway of empowerment as well between our hierarchy and the distant sun Sirius, and gives the incentive towards the culture of freedom. In other words, the principle of freedom gives the incentive towards the culture of freedom. The principle of freedom gives this incentive to the culture of freedom, which characterizes the hierarchy. The culture of freedom or of liberation. All of the work of the hierarchy is meant to produce liberation for its students and adherents, and that of the Black Lodge is meant to produce slavery, or the liberation which motivates the work of the Masters of the Wisdom. So, and we should say, The Black Lodge produces the culture of slavery. It is that which produced the ferment and the vortex of conflict in far distant ages, and which has been recognized in the present through the results of the law of evolution in every kingdom of nature. The new forms evolved for the sake of greater freedom of expression. I was just looking at a little dog today, and you know, at the paw of the dog, and I was saying, well, you can't use those fingers the way a human being those parts of the paw the way the human being can. Well, already in the monkey, it is appreciably freer. The that which is to be expressed, the intelligence, let us say, can express far more through the hand of the monkey than through the paw of the dog or some other claw, let us say. And eventually in man it becomes real intelligent manipulation. So all of this evolutionary progress is under the law of freedom. The new forms evolved or evolved for the sake of greater freedom of expression. The law of freedom produces evolutionary advancement. This is that which substands or lies behind all progress. There is no progress unless it is accompanied by greater freedom. Okay. Progress unless accompanied by greater freedom. The mysteriously exerted influence, this mysteriously exerted influence, this pulling away from form, you know, the power of detachment, the law of repulse, pulling away from form, you know, let's call it detachment, and the law of repulse emanates from Sirius. And interestingly, law of repulse and Scorpio and Sirius. And there is a very strong triangle here between Sirius, Scorpio, and the hierarchy. Emanates from Sirius, and for it we have no name. It is the law of which the three cosmic laws, the law of synthesis, of attraction, and economy are only aspects. So is he basically saying none of these three subsidiary laws imposes any rule or limitation upon the Lord of the world? The law of freedom, however, does impose certain restrictions, if one can use a paradoxical phrase. There's unlimited, well, is anything unlimited? But okay, there is a huge freedom on Sirius, but others are being trained in the exercise of this freedom, and in that training are not entirely free to violate the law of freedom. So really, what we have going on here is a statement that our three cosmic laws are but three aspects of the law of freedom. Well, of course, there's also the intermediate law of karma, so one has to compare these Syrian laws. And we talk about the cosmos, cosmic laws, and the law of freedom on Sirius, is that it affects the expression of the cosmic laws within our local cosmic logos, or probably, or maybe within the confines of the one about whom naught may be said. There are cosmic laws which go far beyond our galaxy, I suppose, and there would have to be higher correspondences of synthesis, attraction, and economy, and I suppose also higher correspondences of the law of freedom. So it says, this pulling away from form, as we might simply call it, emanates from Sirius, and for it we have no name. Well, he does seem to give a name here. It's a mysteriously exerted influence, and let's call it, we'll call it temporarily named here, the law of freedom. This pulling away from form emanates from Sirius, and for it we have no name, maybe no really appropriate name. It is the law of which the three cosmic laws of synthesis, attraction, and economy are only aspects. None of these three subsidiary laws imposes any rule or limitation upon the Lord of the world. The law of freedom, however, does impose certain restrictions. And notice, this is the influence of Sirius upon Shambhala, right? This is the influence of Sirius upon Shambhala, correct? If one can use such a paradoxical phrase as impose certain restrictions. It is responsible for his being known as the Great Sacrifice, for under the control of this law, he created our planetary life and all that is within and upon it, in order to learn to wield this law with full understanding, in full consciousness, and yet at the same time to bring release to the myriad of forms of his expression, to the myriad forms. So two planets are involved in this law, I would say. Uranus for freedom, pure and simple, and Saturn for the restraints which the law of freedom impose upon one who would learn to abide by it and conform to it. So Sanat Kumara, our planetary logos, is yet learning something about this great Syrian law. And this tells us something about how we must treat those whom we are attempting to help, leaving them as much as may be possible, perfectly free to make their own decisions. And perhaps that's why the Master is telling us that no member of the hierarchy will ever impose his will. But look, if Sanat Kumara is learning something about the law of freedom, then maybe the members of the hierarchy do not entirely know it, understand it, abide by it, although I'm sure they necessarily try. The law of economy affects humanity as a whole today through every phase of its life. And this is, we might call it functioning on the basis of the line of least resistance. The law of attraction is beginning to gain some control, particularly in the work of the hierarchy, which the hierarchy undertakes to do, and not so much not the attraction of form to form, but of soul to soul, soul to soul, as in the law of magnetic impulse. And many initiates and senior disciples are becoming aware of the significance of the law of synthesis and are reacting to its impact. The law of synthesis, you know, no matter how it seems, it is all one thing in essentially perfect archetypal coordination, at least the coordination suggested by the archetype, which maybe hasn't worked out yet, is the great fact. And there is one being in all the diversity, one being in all the diversity. Later on, when moving to one of the seven paths, any one of the seven paths, maybe he means this, we can question, to any one of the seven paths, the Master will work with the law of freedom. He has complete freedom of choice, this is said. He has complete freedom of choice in relation to which path he will follow. This is not, as you may well surmise, its true name. For in the last analysis, freedom and liberation are effects of its activity. So, as above, he said for this, what did he call it? For this something, some kind of influence, pathway of power, culture of freedom, pulling away. No. He called it a special kind of influence, subtle influence, and he said we had no name for it. I wonder, would it be found up here? I don't think so. Well, the word influence was present. Pathway of power, culture of freedom. Aha, exerted influence, mysteriously exerted influence. So let's, he says we have no name. Well, and basically what we are saying here, we have no name, and I want to put in here no true name. The law of freedom is not its true name. Okay. Mysteriously exerted influence. For in the last analysis, freedom and liberation are effects of its activity. And in this case, it is a mysteriously exerted influence. So, you know, Sirius, with all of its sponsorship of initiation, is behind so much of the fight for freedom, with all of its distressing effects upon the form. But this is that fourth law, or that law which includes our three cosmic laws. It is synthetic. You know how every three is somehow synthesized into a one. I used to think that the intermediate law of karma was that, but I wonder whether this law of karma is not part of, in a way, a law of freedom. Just the way Saturn is, in a way, a part of Uranus, the still greater father of the planets. This unique and mysterious law governs the life and lives upon Sirius. And it is to that unknown sphere of functioning and intelligent activity what the law of economy is to our planet, the lowest of the laws controlling existence in the planetary form. So maybe there will be nine. So three laws control on Sirius. And we have an unnamed law which is analogous to the lowest of our cosmic laws, our cosmic laws. Well, let's see. I wonder how this would be. CSLS? Yes, cosmic laws. So, on Sirius, we will have two other higher correspondences to this mysterious influence. And each of them will be perhaps threefold. So we will have, in a way, we have this mysterious influence, correspondences. We have this mysterious influences, which with the law of synthesis, the law of attraction, and the law of economy, make a four. And we will have another and higher law, which is, as perhaps as the law of attraction is to the law of economy, so will be this higher law to this mysterious exerted influence. And then we will have yet another higher law, which must, of course, remain unnamed if the lowest of these three laws must remain unnamed. And it will be what the law of synthesis in our local system is to the law of attraction and to the law of economy. Only it will be, it will embrace analogs of the law of synthesis, law of attraction, and the law of economy. So this amazing law, which we cannot give a name to, this this law of freedom is the lowest of three great laws which prevail on Sirius. So when we are told that something is a cosmic law, just how cosmic is it? When we are told that the law of synthesis, the law of attraction, and the law of economy are cosmic laws, just how cosmic, just how extensive are they? Well, whatever structure we may have, even three higher laws here on Sirius, they will have higher analogs as well. So for our purposes, synthesis, well, we must imagine that there are great and higher analogs of synthesis, attraction, and economy throughout cosmos, but then there will be still higher analogs of these unnamed laws to which synthesis, attraction, and economy are just aspects. And on it will go. There is some hierarchical structure in cosmos that we can only trace so far. And we will have to be rest content with working our way out of the law of attraction into the law of the law of economy into the law of attraction, and out of the law of attraction into the law of synthesis right here. We will have to wait until we are on the seven cosmic paths to understand the law of freedom, and when we would understand the still higher laws which express on Sirius, and maybe, I would guess, elsewhere in the cosmos, we have no idea when that phase of evolution and unfoldment would occur. The law of economy includes, as you know from my earlier writings, many lesser and subsidiary laws, some of the natural laws and so forth. And this found in a treatise on cosmic fire, or let's just call it TCF. It might be therefore stated that this law of freedom also does the same. And it concludes many subsidiary laws, right? Includes many subsidiary laws. Until more divine attributes are realized as existing and recognized as aspects. This is an interesting sentence because divine attributes, attributes are less high than aspects. But that which is lesser in a higher system is greater in a lower system. That's all I can say about this. Aspects are usually higher than attributes, but that which is lesser in a higher system are greater in a lower system. So attributes become aspects. Until more divine attributes are realized as existing and recognized as aspects, it is not possible for the name of the law which embodies the law of freedom to be given. But, you know, we can understand that it has some connection with, let's say some connection with the will to fulfillment, I would say. Because somehow there must be the complete expression of the will of God, of the will of God, and of the archetype. And freedom is just a step along the way to making this possible. So is the realization of synthesis and the coming together in cooperation that the law of attraction represents, and the non-wasting of energy, or the husbanding, conservation of energy. They are all leading to a great fulfillment. Anyway, he says there's no word in our language, who's ours, in our language adequately available. Here he identifies as a human being. The above information will, however, link Sirius and our little planet, the Earth, in your minds. And this is the purpose, you know. People can say, well, why this great sun? Of course, when this was written, you know, in the 40s, let's just say that more and more the cosmos is being explored and greater depths of space are being revealed. So the relative importance or size of Sirius will seem to diminish with these new revelations, but not to us, not to our solar system and our planet, because the energies of Sirius are immediately effective. So there is a great law that embodies the law of freedom. And, you know, in my mind, it just has to do with freedom for fulfillment. And fulfillment means fulfillment of an archetype, of the real thing that we are in terms of God's ideation. So, you know, eventually, there must be some law which guarantees the fulfillment of God's ideation. And each one of us is but an aspect of that ideation. We are, yes, we are ideas. We are ideas in that ideation. All right, Masonry as originally instituted far back in the very night of time. You know, I'm having a flashback. I remember when I entered the Masonic Lodge in 1974, and it was almost 40 years ago now. And I'm remembering reading this very... I looked up everything on Masonry before entering the lodge, little suspecting, of course, that this kind of esoteric information was not part of that lodge. But now it is, with Keith Bailey and the AUM, Ancient Universal Mysteries Lodge, the Reformation of Masonry, moving in that direction. Now it is. But in those old days, I was reading exactly this before being initiated into the lodge in early November of 1974. Well, anyway, Masonry has instituted far back in the very night of time, we could almost say a Lemurian institution, though certainly Atlantean, and long antedating the Jewish dispensation, which largely colors it, was organized under direct Syrian influence and modeled as far as possible on certain Syrian institutions and bearing a slight resemblance also to our hierarchical life as seen in the light of the eternal now. The eternal now, you know, one of those most perplexing terms, something that has to be experienced, something of which we receive flashes now and then as our consciousness expands. But Masonry organized under direct Syrian influence. And there are institutions, whatever that rather material word, concrete word means when related to Sirius, you know, certain forms of life, I suppose, certain patterns of living. Let's call it that, you know. Patterns of living within the sunshine of that major sun and bearing slight resemblance also to our hierarchical life as seen in the light of the eternal now. Well, the light of the eternal now, you know, it sees the archetypes existing simultaneously, sees the archetypes existing simultaneously. Tinously, okay. I have to have a better one than that, don't you think? S-I-M-L-L. I'm going to do that. Simultaneously. Okay, S-I-M-L-L. That'll save a little bit. Law of economy, right? Existing simultaneously and does not focus on the circumstantial movement towards the fulfillment of archetypes in the lower worlds. Right. So what will he say then further? Masonry 1, 4, and 7, Syrian influence, maybe, you know, fourth path, guiding, you know, the head center of man, the first ray, the organization and vitality on Sirius. Of course, look, the whole science of the seven rays, in a way, comes from Sirius. And the seven waves of light must wean away the attention of the scholar from all that has been found and stored and used. So these seven waves of light come from Sirius, and all the rays will be coming into our solar systemic life in a very pronounced way from Sirius. This does not negate their coming from the Great Bear or from Pleiades, but it will be in the aspect of the Son of God that they will come in, maybe under the building aspect, perhaps, related to the second aspect. So in the eternal now, we see how things are in the world of being. They are unchanging in the world of being, and they are always so. For any span, for any circumstantial span, the archetypes in the world of being will hold, regardless of the formulations and reformulations below. We are entertaining an unchanging structure. So, you know, let's call that the entertainment of an unchanging relationship or archetypal relationship. And when there is no change, and when all is occurring simultaneously, when all is occurring simultaneously, we are in the eternal now. Well, maybe one day I'll write some essay on the eternal now, you know, try to fathom what it really means, meditate upon the eternal now. I've done a bit of that in the Infinitization of Selfhood book, but of course I'm not satisfied with how that expresses the idea. But sometimes, you know, I am stopped in these commentaries when I see this formulation of words, the eternal now, and other, like isolated unity and so forth. It makes you pause and think, well, what really are we talking about? So its Blue Lodge with its 3 degrees is related to the three major groups of lives on Sirius. You can only imagine what I thought I was getting into with masonry. It was more the conventional masonry fed by these thoughts. Of course, these thoughts were far beyond anything that the Masons of the time were entertaining. Its Blue Lodge with its 3 degrees is related to the three major groups of lives on Sirius. For there are no kingdoms of nature such as we possess, though the kingdoms of nature are, you know, there are seven kingdoms of nature, right? But a three always hovers above the seven. There are seven kingdoms of nature. Okay, let's look at that, and we'll do seven kingdoms of nature. Aha. And we'll do it this way. Seven kingdoms of nature. That's the seven. So how about SN, kingdoms of nature? Seven kingdoms of nature. SN, KONS, right. Would have been easier, of course, to just do it the other way, but there are seven kingdoms of nature in our solar system, but always a three hovers above a seven. And this is Kabbalistic, as we know, in that structure of the Tree of Life. So there are no kingdoms of nature such as we possess. He's telling us a lot about life on Sirius, isn't he? You know, he says it's a very veiled path, but then he received permission to talk about these matters and give more. So what was planned as the intended revelation at the time of that Initiation Human and Solar was written expanded another 20 years later when this book was being written. So there are no kingdoms of nature there such as we possess. Well, such as we possess, you know. Are there other analogs to the kingdoms of nature which are not such as we possess? These groups receive all those who choose the fourth path. And I'll just bet, I have an idea here. Have an idea that the three unnamed laws on Sirius one of which, the lowest, is the lowest analog to the law of freedom, must rule these three groups. I have a sense that that is the case. Okay, so receive these four, these groups, and train them in the mode of existence and the type of livingness which is found on Sirius. What you just get a sense of the incredible vista and the faith that can make it possible for one to travel through the many aspects of death on the way to this freedom. So traveling through the many aspects of death, change, on the way to this great freedom. This will make it plain to you that the least developed of the Syrian lives are, from our standpoint, all of them, initiates of very high degree. What does it take, you know, to, well, think of that, you know, you start out as the Chohan of the sixth degree, traveling on the path to Sirius, and you end up as a Syrian life who's trained as a solar angel. You return to a solar system, maybe our solar system, and now you are a member of the council within the sun, whereas our high masters, 6, 7, 8, 9 perhaps, are only members of the council chamber of Sanat Kumara. So already there, very high initiates, so high that they are members of that council. Now, this, well, every hierarchy has its series of initiations, right? So the series of initiations for humanity is not at all the same as the series of initiations for solar angels. They are definitely in a higher stratum. And they have begun to relate to the sun the way high initiates here relate to the council chamber of Shambhala. So our highest initiates relate to the solar logos the way our high initiates relate to Shambhala and our planetary logos, the way the solar Petris schooled on Sirius relate to the solar logos. Masonry is therefore connected in a peculiar way with the fourth path. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is good for Masons to know. I'm sure that Keith in his educational systems, you know, has let them know this. Masonry is therefore connected in a peculiar way with the fourth path down the ages and with Gemini. Well, we have a triangle here, don't we? A kind of triangle suggests we can call it Sirius, Gemini, Masonry. Down the ages, the Masonic tradition has been preserved, changing its nomenclature from time to time, reinterpreting its words of power, and consequently getting further and further removed from its original beauty and intent, which we can call, you know, the Syrian beauty and intent. But all of that is in process of reformation now. The time has now come under cyclic law, and in preparation for the New Age, for certain changes to be worked by Masons with spiritual understanding. Remember that this was written in the 40s. The present Jewish coloring of Masonry is completely out of date. You know, I myself went through years of the Masonic Lodge, and I know this is true. I mean, there are so many old Jewish names from the old Bible, the old Hebrew, and it just doesn't seem to have modern relevance and has been preserved far too long, and it is today either Jewish or Christian and should be neither. Okay, so we need some universal approach to Masonry. He's taking a little bit of a digression here, but apparently one could say that the Masonic Lodge, in some subtle way, is preparing for the path to Sirius. At least there's a kind of education given there which gives some intimation of what Sirius is. It is a mode of very preliminary Syrian education, and of course our hierarchical initiations are the higher analog to this Masonic work, and so our system of initiations are giving a still higher anticipation of what will transpire on Sirius. We're all of us somehow involved in a Syrian method of liberation, regardless of what our paths may one day be. The Blue Lodge degrees are entirely Jewish in phrasing and wording, and this should be altered. The higher degrees are predominantly Christian, though permeated with Jewish names and words, and this too should end. The Jewish coloring is today one of the main hindrances to the full expression of Masonic intention, and should be changed whilst preserving the fact and detail and structure of the Masonic symbolism intact. And, you know, of course, we're so fortunate at this time that this is, in fact, being undertaken, and well undertaken. Whatever form the new nomenclature will take, and this change will inevitably come, that too will pass away after due service rendered, and thus the cyclic transformation will proceed until such time as the bulk of humanity standing upon the fourth path will pass through the initiatory process on Sirius, of which our EA degree is but a faint reflection, entered apprentice, as it is called. He's used those terms, so I'm not divulging any Masonic secrets here. The original, the 3 degrees of the Blue Lodge are well known exoterically, though their inner content is not so well known. Let's see here. Right. The cyclic transformation will proceed. Right. So what I wanted to ask here, isn't it funny? I mean, you know, I'm supposed to be like telling something, but I'm asking something. This is what I have to do. I'm imagining here that the higher parts of myself or the master of the hierarchy, in a way, can hear these questions, which are like an invocation, and then the evocation of the answer will come. So I'm invoking through questioning, and I think it's a fair and reasonable thing to do when it is not necessarily possible to know with exactitude or with anything approaching exactitude the answer to these questions. So when we take the fifth initiation, is it a Syrian initiation? And in a way, it is. But it seems to me there will definitely be further initiations on Sirius. And you see, our mastership is, in a way, an EA degree, entered apprentice, a humble learner, a degree of humble learning in respect to Sirius. Is it the same as the entered apprentice degree taken on Sirius? So is our fifth initiation the same as the EA degree taken on Sirius? I mean, in a way, of course, Sirius is here. And is it possible, you know, if the Christ is an example of a Syrian initiation, namely, a kind of transfiguration in the Syrian regime, though he is not yet on Sirius, and will take other paths, the ray path, for instance, before he takes the path to Sirius, when he takes these initiations in our scheme of initiations, is he actually as if taking them on Sirius, or is there a still higher analog to these initiations which are taken actually within the sunshine of that greater sun? So I think so. I think that the initiations taken on Sirius will still be greater. I think a little review might be useful here. I have a little bit of time. The glorious possibilities. Wouldn't you just like to make that a bit larger? so largeness for emphasis. Glorious possibilities of this path, related as it is also to the Pleiades, especially through the impartation of Manus to our solar system and heavenly men. It is very veiled path, though much seems to be given out on it. Well, we're talking here about the universal mind, and we talked about the contrast, very much the contrast between Pleiades and Sirius, which is absolutely greater, which one of the two, and which is relatively greater. For us, at this time, Sirius has to be relatively greater. And it has to be considered that Sirius is transmitting energy via the Pleiades, though from a practical point of view, one would wonder how that could happen. But we wait to be informed on these matters. We have correspondences here of Sirius Pleiades and our solar logos in the Venus scheme, Earth chain, and Earth scheme and Venus chain. Okay, the Antikorana will reveal more. There is a great Antikorana from our planet to Sirius, and that's because of the relation between our planet and Sirius, which, I mean, there's quite a triangle there, Sirius, Sol, and Earth, S-O-L, right? This unobstructed Antikorana can be built because of a relationship of long date between our planetary logos, sometimes considered a Sanakumara, and the Assyrian logos. The bulk of the human monads travels this way. It's mostly initiates of the fourth and sixth order. And can order mean ray, a monadic ray particularly, because the Egyptian master on the fourth ray, probably monadic, and Master Jesus certainly on the sixth ray monad, travel this way. The mystics of the Occident are examples of those who travel this way, and the ecstasy of the mystic becomes the cosmic rapture of the one who thus travels. When we travel this path, and it will be a long path, presumably, the qualities are cosmic rapture and rhythmic bliss, and there's a deep sense of identification. Actually, identification is found on, of some kind, is found on all the cosmic paths. We seek to learn the meaning of identification. And to experience it as monads. Once we are monads, we have entered the realm of identification, and it is monads which travel this path. There is a strong numerical resonance here between this path and everything connected with humanity, and the perfection connected with number four allows the bulk of our humanity to perfect themselves on this fourth path. They're also called blissful dancing points, a fanatical devotion. The dance has to do with the archetypal rhythms of Sirius, I suppose, and identification with those rhythms. And treading this path, they're also called revolving wheels, which turn upon themselves. And the door open to perfect bliss, not just bliss as we experience it here in Nirvana and our planet, but perfect bliss. Well, how perfect is perfect, and how long does it last? You know, it onward goes. One of the signs of the zodiac is connected here. It reaches us from Sirius via the Sun. Is that constellation Leo? Will we learn anything more about that? There's such a strong connection between Sirius and the Sirius and Leo, and with Sirius and Jupiter, and with Jupiter and Leo. So almost as if, you know, we have kind of a connection here as Sirius, Leo, Sun, Jupiter. The hierarchies number 14 and 17 are involved, and the numbers 17 are the Aries creative hierarchy and the Scorpio creative hierarchy, definitely related to Sirius, through the triangle Sirius-Scorpio-Mars, or hierarchy, Sirius-Scorpio hierarchy. And the number 14 through the great Leo hierarchy, it begins to show these divine flames ruled by Leo are very connected with Sirius. And, well, in a way, so are the solar angels. So we have both the solar angels, number 5, and Leo, number 1, both connected to Sirius. The method whereby the adept fits himself, duplex rotary motion, and we've been talking about rhythmic dancing upon the square according to archetypal rhythms. I want to put that in here. I would say according to archetypal rhythms emanating from Sirius. We learn to dance the dance of the Syrian dance, fourth ray, the dance, seventh ray organization, the vitality of Sirius needed for dancing. If you ever want to get a real workout, go dancing some night, as they do here in Finland, you know. I think it must be like an athletic event, and when I was younger I could do that, and now I'm one who watches. Okay, the symbol given to the pledged disciple to study for this path is a duality of interlocked wheels revolving at great pace in opposite directions and producing a unified whole. Well, can they be interlocked and revolve at in opposite, the opposite directions is the wheels themselves, and not that the wheels disengage and move in opposite directions, but are rotating, as I've said before, crudely. I tried to do it like this, you know, like this. Those are together, still locked together, but opposite directions. They have a blue flame, and they're around the orange cross with the emerald flame center or circle. And I've told us or suggested that we consider the symbol for the first solar system and how it is related to the symbol for the path. Well, the first solar system and the second solar system, and how it is related to the path to Sirius, the symbol of the path to Sirius. We can't know the quality that's gained here, but, you know, if we're talking about, well, I'm just going to put something down, unrevealed, but he has talked about, you know, I know this isn't the quality, but still perfect bliss is the result of this learning to dance according to the archetypal rhythms. So here we've discussed this already, cosmic rapture, rhythmic bliss. The energy comes from Sirius via the sun, which is a blind for a zodiacal sign. Is it Leo? Because there's a very close connection between Sirius and Leo. We discussed the hierarchies 14 and 17 by adding their numbers down, their numbers up, and also the numbers of the unmanifested creative hierarchies beginning with 1 on the logoic plane. The method, duplex rotary motion and rhythmic dancing upon the square. The symbols are given the two blue wheels in contrary motion revolving around an orange cross. Quality unrevealed, I think a perfect bliss. The raised initiations, not much can be given, but yet much is given. I suppose it's for those who have eyes to see. The great sun, which is to our logos what the monad is to the spiritual man. And I suggested that this great sun would be to our earth what the monad is to the unspiritual man. Sirius very much involved in our earthly system process, very closely related through a relationship of ancient date of our Lord of the World, Sanakumara, and basically then the planetary logos to Sirius. I mean, if Sanakumara is an emanation of our planetary logos and is often called our planetary logos, then Sirius has to be related to our tiny little planetary logos. At a certain initiation, we are taught that there's a good reason for our planet to be closely related to Sirius, but we don't know what initiation that is. So certain events result because of that close relation, the bulk of humanity going there, the relationship of the hierarchy to Sirius, not Shambhala to Sirius, two streams of energy coming in to our planet. It becomes apparent that they enter. One of them is from our own monadic life, the jewel and the lotus on the cosmic mental plane, and the other is from Sirius into hierarchy. Further events going on here. Sirius is pretty much involved in the 2-4-6 line, even though it's a source of great manas, but it is part of the training of those who will take the second, fourth, and sixth initiations. Our Great White Lodge is controlled from Sirius. There wasn't much of the Syrian influence until Christ became the head of the hierarchy in about 500 BC and revealed the love of God to humanity. Mostly, I thought it was the light of God, particularly. Sanatkumar is not on the Syrian line, but Lucifer, who is pretty much what humanity is on the Syrian line, and this means that the fourth creative hierarchy is related to the fourth path. Is Sirius somehow? No, we don't know what order it is a logos of. We know Betelgeuse second and our sun the fourth. And there is no divergence in the methods between Shambhala and hierarchy. And he's given us some relationships here which will fix in our mind the relationship of our little planet to Sirius. There's a great law of freedom there, a great principle of freedom. And when we fight for our freedom, it is according to this principle of freedom. There is a kind of a law of freedom, which is a synthetic law. And it is involved in the spirit of death, a great releasing agency, but it's not the name of the real law, which in fact synthesizes all of our cosmic laws as we experience them. It's a pulling away from form. And the Sanatkumar is learning this great law of freedom, and paradoxically certain restrictions are placed upon him in the learning. This law of freedom, it's not the real name, is one of three greater laws on Sirius, and it is the lowest. None of them have any names, and we assume that maybe all of them are in triplicate, just the way this this law, which includes the law of freedom, or for which the law of freedom is a secondary name, includes the laws of synthesis, attraction, and economy, cosmic laws. So we will not be given the name of the law of freedom. I have speculated whether it's not involved with some sort of perfection or fulfillment, but then that's just a great generalization. So all of these lives on Sirius are very high degree initiates. You know, when we compare the initiations of the Solar Angel, they say they're initiates of all degrees, presumably all human degrees, or those that which the fourth grade of hierarchy members can take. We don't know their initiatory regime and how high their initiations go and what numbers they would have when compared with our human initiations. Here is masonry directly related to Sirius by the number four. There's a strong Egyptian connection there as well. You know, Sirius, masonry, and the Egyptian presentation. It's the Jewish coloring in masonry has to be dispensed with. And to be an entered apprentice on Sirius, one must be the master of the fifth degree, but maybe there are actual initiations taken on Sirius, which are another form of higher entered apprentice once one actually gets there. So our entered apprentice is but a, you know, there's the entered apprentice along the Syrian line, who is the master, but once one gets to Sirius on that path, one is also an entered apprentice of a still higher type, so it seems to me. All right, well, now it's time to get into the archaic stanzas. Each time I have this hope that somehow they are just a little easier than the ones that came before, but they always seem to be more difficult. If anything, this one happens to be a little bit shorter, which doesn't mean it's any easier. I'm remembering that some of the statements made in connection with the fourth Ray Lord are very kind of direct, and there are not so many of them, but they're even more difficult to fathom. So this will be the end of, I'll put this in, end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 26B and Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 108, and we will begin beginning with the Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 27A on the Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 108. Okay.